Hi, my name is Eden Tosh, and we're listening to E Prasaran Internet Radio. I am an Ayurveda practitioner in Oakland, California, and I'm talking with my most senior teacher, the renowned Dr. Godgill, who's here from Pune, India. And we're talking about various subjects regarding Ayurveda and its relationship to allopathic medicine and the philosophy behind Ayurveda. We're continuing the conversation now to include simple lifestyle techniques that people can incorporate into their daily routines so that they can learn to avoid long-term health problems. Welcome, Dr. Gagya.
Thank you. We were talking about the lifestyle aspects, various lifestyle aspects. What I would want to emphasize, most few aspects which are very important. The first is the diet.
Of course,
as I said, we are what we eat. So our body is made up of the diet we eat. So that forms the most important part of our lifestyle. Second is our work schedule, because we have to work for our earning and for living and other things. Third important aspect is about psychological aspects. We all face various kinds of stress and anger and depression and so many things or something like that. So psychological aspects like that. Then what contributes to today's diseases most often are the addictions. May it be from tobacco or may it be from liquor and other things.
Do you include sugar as an addiction?
Yeah, we do. But as compared to drugs and tobacco, it's at a minor level or something like that. But
okay,
anyway.
That's good. I'm relieved.
And lifestyle as a whole, that needs to be considered. That is another issue. So we start from the diet. That would be better. What happens, Ayurveda elaborates in many, many ways about diet as such. But we go by some simple rules that can be followed easily and get into the details in our next conversations or something. When should we eat?
When we're hungry.
Yes, good. And that's the real answer, when we are hungry. Only thing is, there can be a real hunger or a false hunger. When our hunger is dependent on the kind of food material, then that's not a real hunger. I see a burger, I see a pizza, and I feel I'm hungry.
Right.
When you see even a disliked thing, which you don't like, something bitter like karela.
Bitter melon.
Karela?
Bitter melon.
Bitter melon, yeah. And you don't like it, but there is no option. And even then you want to eat it, because you are hungry.
That's very hungry.
That's real hunger.
Uh-huh.
So one has to differentiate between a real hunger and a false hunger or something like that.
How do you do it?
As I said, you develop particular habits, okay? And you feel hungry at that time. And if you don't eat, then you feel weak or something. And ultimately the food had got to be digested. And if it gets digested and gets converted into your body tissues properly, you maintain your energy level, you maintain your health, then that is fine. So we can say that this is a real hunger or something like that. Otherwise, if it is leading to heaviness in the body, in the stomach or something, laziness or something.
Lethargy.
Lack of energy.
Yeah.
Then you should understand that you are overeaten or you are really not hungry. And you just ate out of desire. Not real hunger. There are two words in Sanskrit, kshudha and bubuksha. Okay. Kshudha is the hunger.
Actual hunger.
Actual hunger. And bubuksha is desire to eat. Okay. Bhuktumicha, bubuksha. So there can be bubuksha or desire for eating without hunger. There are many reasons. In my the book Lifestyle, the Key to Health, I mentioned many reasons for eating. Okay, hunger is the main reason or the real reason for eating. But we want to pass time. And so we have munching habit or something like that. Watching TV and then eating popcorns or whatever it may be, or potato chips or something like that. And that's a major reason for obesity, because we keep on unnecessarily feeding the body, and then body starts accumulating it in the form of the fat. And that leads to obesity or something like that.
Right.
So this is one kind of eating. We might be stressed and we want to engage our mind in some act. And the easiest way is to keep it engaged in eating. So you have something to eat, like munching habit again, the same thing. And that is how you keep on eating or something like that. Then there are mothers who love their children best. And they are scared that their children should not remain undernourished or something like that. They should get proper nourishment. So they want to feed their children topmost things or something like that, nourishing things, etc. And they keep on bombarding. When, even when the child is not hungry, they feel, oh, no, no, my child is not getting well and not getting strength or something like that, gaining weight. So I should feed him or her. And though he may not be wishing, he doesn't understand. So I have to forcefully made him eat or something like that, him or her. So this is kind of forceful eating, and which is also not good. Not only that, it is not useful, but it is harmful. Because according to Ayurveda, if the food remains undigested, not properly digested, that can lead to a toxin called as ama. And that's the root cause for so many diseases in Ayurveda.
I have a question, because I recognize that a lot of people eat when they feel fatigued or maybe a little lightheaded or dizzy. And they perceive that to be a lack of nourishment. What is your opinion on that experience?
Actually, if the body is starved and requires food, you will get fatigue. That is true. Only thing is, the fatigue can be even due to psychological reasons or overstrain of the mind and other things. And in that situation, you need something what we call in Ayurveda as prenanam. Not really the nourishing thing, but any soft drink, milk or fruit juices or soups, which
something are
not heavy to digest, but which give you energy. Actually, in such conditions, that is more important than actually eating something. But people may not understand the difference, and they would go for some heavy food. That is quite possible.
Especially if it relieves the symptoms, at least initially. The symptom of being tired, the symptom of being dizzy or ungrounded.
Yeah. So one has to identify whether there is a real hunger and there is a real need for the body, which requires nourishment, or you should be satisfied with some liquid diet. And that will be nourishing and giving you energy, instant energy, that is easily digestible or something like that. So if you differentiate between those two things, then that's better. So Ayurveda emphasizes that the previous food has to be digested before taking new food. And this is particularly important when you are having breakfast. You may have some undigested food and still you go for dinner. Lunch is not fully digested, but you may go for dinner. But that whole part, lunch and dinner, should be well digested when you pass the night and when you get up. And you should have a clear bowel movement.
That's the sign that you're ready to eat breakfast.
Yeah. Udgaru shuddhir utsaho vegot sargo yatho jitaha. Lugutakshut pipasacha jirnahara selection. They describe the symptoms of digestion of food. And one of the symptoms is proper motion, proper bowel movement, proper urination. That's the kind of waste product that is being produced during the digestion process. And we can judge the digestion on the basis of formation of the stools. When the stools are well formed and the evacuation is proper, it is satisfactory, the stools float in the water, Otherwise, if they contain armor, undigested food, that sinks into the water. And it should not have foul smell or something like that. Then we can consider that the digestion is proper. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you should feel light. At the same time, you should feel hungry and thirsty. Mm-hmm. And then that is the proper time to eat.
A lot of people don't feel that way in the morning.
Yeah. That starts with the getting up late in the morning. Mm-hmm. Because according to Ayurveda, the last period of the night contributes to Vata Dosha.
And what time is that?
Before sunrise, 1.5 hours. Now, this is very tricky.
It is tricky.
In Western countries. Because in India, we have sunrise and sunset that is not varying much.
Right.
But in Western countries, the sunrise in summer can be too early.
And 5 o'clock?
Sunset, yeah, 5 o'clock. And the sunset can be late night, 9 o'clock.
Right.
Something like that.
What do you do in this situation?
Ideally, we should be in tune with the nature. So in such cases, we need to develop habit to get up early and try to catch the period which is before sunrise. That's the end part of Vata Dosha, end part of night, attributing to Vata Dosha.
Why is that beneficial?
Okay. Vata has a normal function, and especially the Apana Vayu, there are 5 types of Vayu, has this function of eliminating the feces and the urine from the body. And if we wake up during that period, then the function is smooth because it's its own period.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if we get up late when the day starts, then it's a kapha period initially. And Vata will not be working fine in some other doshas period.
I understand, and I have a question to clarify.
Okay.
So Vata period ends at the moment that the sun rises over the horizon.
Yeah.
And kapha then continues from that point forward for the next 4 hours.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
True.
I don't think I knew that.
Okay.
I mean, every day in the northern hemisphere, quite far north where we are here, mm-hmm. every day you have to pay attention to when the sun rises, which will remind you every day what the rotation of the planet is.
Yeah. So, what I would suggest is to get up early before sunrise, at least if not 1.5 hour before or something like that, but at least before sunrise.
Uh-huh.
And you have to take your dinner at a particular time when there is ample scope for digestion of the lunch and dinner together during the whole day and whole night, of course, and there is proper motion in the morning before sunrise. So the quantity has to be adjusted, and even the quality has to be adjusted in such a way that you digest it properly, and then only you are allowed to eat next day. Otherwise, need fasting. It should not go for breakfast in the morning or even for lunch or something like that.
It's very common here for people to think that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and they always eat breakfast.
Yeah.
What does this contribute to in the long run?
Okay. Fortunately enough, in Western countries, the climate is most of the time cold, excepting few days of summer or few months of summer or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the digestive fire, as what we call Agni, is very good as mm-hmm. compared to other continents.
Mm-hmm, like where it's hotter.
Asian countries and other things where the atmosphere is not that cold or something like that. And the concept here is heavy breakfast, lighter lunch, and even lighter dinner. And that is also much earlier. Generally, you have mm-hmm. Dinner around 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That is fine. And if you are able to digest it as a whole, for the whole day, and there is proper motion, bowel movement, then there is no harm.
Yeah, but most people don't have that. So what are they causing themselves?
Then what they have to do is adjust their whole food, breakfast, lunch and dinner, in such a way they need fasting. Mm-hmm. Generally, we ask them to sacrifice things. In India, particularly. And the first sacrifice is of the breakfast. If that is not sufficient, then we sacrifice the dinner. Mm-hmm. And if that is also not sufficient, then we also sacrifice the lunch. And may have just liquid diets throughout the day or something like that. Mm-hmm. But sacrificing the breakfast generally works. In Western countries, you may sacrifice the dinner initially. If there is a requirement to be made for fasting.
I see. So if somebody wants to lose weight or if they're having some illness, digestion is bad.
Yeah.
The first thing to consider is to skip dinner.
Dinner. Then what happens, you have the breakfast in the morning, say 8, 9 o'clock or something like that. And dinner, lunch, what, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, something like that. Mm. You get sufficient time till next morning for proper digestion. So even though the digestive fire is not up to the mark, slowly it will keep on digesting the things. And if you skip the dinner, then there is ample scope that you will digest the whole food stuff. And then when you feel that, okay, now that has been taken care of and you can have some dinner, then you again start with dinner if you feel hungry. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's okay. You can just have some soup or milk or something like that in the dinner, and that is enough. So the important factor is the previous food has to be digested, especially when a new day starts with the sunrise. And then only one is allowed to eat. One should feel the real hunger. One should feel lightness in the body. And one should have a desire to eat, proper desire to eat. And actually one should be hungry that whatever is available, I want to eat. That should be the desire.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's the real hunger. That's it. And if you follow these simple rules, you will know that you can conquer many, many diseases with this.
Just that.
Okay. Ayurveda has different levels of digestion is what Ayurveda prescribes. This is a gross level. What we are talking about, the main digestive fire, what is called as Jatadagni.
Mm-hmm. What happens in the belly?
What happens in the?
This is what happens in the belly.
Yeah. But then there is subtle digestion at the Dhatu level, as what we call.
Mm-hmm.
And at the Mahabhuta level as well, the five elements is what Ayurveda says.
Mm-hmm.
So there are different Agnis associated with Dhatus and Mahabhutas.
Right. So at the tissue level.
Tissue level.
And the Mahabhuta level, which is a elemental level.
You may say. That should be fine. And whatever diseases they arise, this is a combination of the dosha, vata, pitta and kapha, and the body tissues, what we call as dhatu, or upadhatu or something like that. And then this is associated with the Agni, concept of Agni and its digestion by this Agni at the subtle level. Once you rectify this main Agni, Jatadagni, you also rectify the Dhatvagnis and Bhutagnis, as what we call. Subtle level digestion also gets improved.
Can we call it something like metabolization?
Maybe? You may. See, according to Ayurveda, every substance has its own digestive fire. There is a process of decaying. If you get a fruit, okay, we look at the example of a mango. From unripe mango, which is more astringent, there is a change of taste from astringent to sour, then sour sweet, and ultimately the ripened mango is sweet taste. Now the process of ripening of the mango is a natural one, and it had its own digestive fire, which keeps on transformation from one stage to another stage like that.
Mm-hmm.
In the same manner, the food that we eat has its own digestive fire. Mm-hmm. It has a capacity.
It comes with its own ability to digest itself.
Yeah, and when it comes in contact with the digestive fire of our body, the digestion process is faster or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And it gets a particular direction in what conversion we need. If we keep the food outside, it will have its own transformation. It will decay.
Right.
Okay. But if we try to keep it in refrigerator, apparently we feel that there is no transformation. And the qualities of the food have been maintained. But truly speaking, there are two factors involved in this process. One is the digestive fire of that substance itself. Mm-hmm. And second is the time factor. They go hand in hand. And we see transformations. When we keep the things in the refrigerator, we create an atmosphere which is too cool. So the process of decay is delayed in a way. But the time factor keeps on working on that. And so it loses its normal property. Apparently we may not feel like that.
Right.
That is true. But what we need to eat is something which is fresh. We are a part and parcel of the nature. And you look at the animals, what the animals do.
They eat fresh.
They eat fresh.
If they can.
Yeah.
Well, some rats, they don't eat fresh.
Okay. For them, that might be fresh.
It might be.
we can't say about that. But there is no refrigerator or something like that.
Right.
And we developed habits like that. And putting things in the refrigerator and assuming that it doesn't become stale.
Mm-hmm. Or freezing or canning or bottling or drying.
Yeah.
All the things we do.
No, there are certain preservative techniques which are natural. Drying might be a natural process or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't compare that with refrigeration, with preservatives, artificial chemical preservatives or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever is available in a natural way might not harm that much. But when you do it artificially, I wonder that even Indian families who are shifted from India to US or other countries like Europe or Australia or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen that they prepare food for 7 days, 15 days, 1 month or something like that. And just dump it.
Throw it in the freezer.
Into the refrigerator. Just take out, put it into microwave, make it hot and eat. This is stupid.
A lot of working mothers will disagree with you.
Yeah. We are a living thing. And we should have lively things, fresh things. Ultimately, it's a relation with the soul. Because this is not just a mechanical thing. So, what I would suggest is to have fresh food every time. In India, the ladies, even they, when they are working, they have to look after their families, their children and other things. And they still cook fresh both the times, morning and evening. At the most, what can they do? Some part from the morning, from the lunch can be used for the dinner. But next day, it should be fresh again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the proper way. So, the most important thing is one should not have stale food, and refrigeration or deep refrigeration or something like that is not good. Reheating of food is really not good. So food has to be hot, and it should be hot because it is freshly prepared. And consume it when it is hot. This is the best time to do. When the previous food has been digested, when you have real hunger, and when you have freshly prepared hot, delicious food, that's the proper time to eat. So this is the so-called tip for the food material as such. This is in very nutshell.
It's a nutshell, and yet it's a lot to remember and a lot to be able to do for a typical family.
Yeah, yeah. We can elaborate on many, many aspects on this, but I think we keep it for the next interview. That should be.
Okay, but I have one quick question, because it's a question that I think is in a lot of people's minds. If you don't have the time, if it's really a busy family, which is better, to cook a meal and have it the next day, or to go out and eat at a restaurant that you know that the food is pretty fresh?
Okay. Neither of the options are really good.
We know that, but that's in an ideal world, in people's real lives.
Okay. Ultimately, we have to decide our priorities. And if health is our concern, or health is our priority, then we should adjust our schedules accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
It's an investment. Unfortunately, the current way of thinking is quite different. Insurance is all fear psychosis. Okay. Insurance companies would tell, oh, if you get cancer, if you get heart attack, how are you going to bear the expenses? And then you should get insured. Nobody tells you how to remain healthy and how one should not require health insurance. So our basic line of thinking has gone in a very wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
If we really understand the ways of healthy living and really understand the importance of that, then you will start making adjustments. The best thing to do is getting up early in the morning. Now for that you have to go to bed early at night. And for that you may have to sacrifice your most beloved TV.
Tragic.
But ultimately what happens, if you decide a priority, then getting up early, preparing fresh food, is going to work in a long run for me, I may sacrifice my TV. Or you have to do adjustments in such a way that while going out, you have slow cookers, okay? Mm-hmm. You go for your work. And you have a cooker that works for 8 hours, cooks food for 8 hours. You keep it on and go. Just when you come back, the food is really very little work has to be done to finish the job.
Mm-hmm.
Eat fresh. If you come home at 6 o'clock, 6:30, you should finish your dinner by 7:30. Then if you want to observe TV, you observe it for now till 9 and then go to bed. Get up early. So then you are able to cook there, you are able to do some exercise, you can do some yoga practice or whatever. What are the so-called healthy habits that you can inculcate yourself?
Right.
And still, you may enjoy. So, you have to drive for 1 hour. Okay, you have lots of audio tapes or CDs or something like that. You enjoy.
Right.
Listen to music. Listen to various talks like that.
Right.
So, why should we sit in front of TV, watch the TV, and then go to bed at late night or something like that? So the best thing to do is to try to find out a way to find time for healthy habits. So it's not better at all. I've seen some families, they cook at night because they find time, and then they eat on the next day, even in Indian families. It's a very bad habit. So I say, get up early in the morning, instead of remaining awake till 12 o'clock at night, go to bed at 9, get up at 4 o'clock, and start cooking. So you do apply cooker and other things, and start your exercise and yoga. The cooking will go on simultaneously or something like that. Pack up your tiffin, have breakfast, and go to work. Come back with another cooker, slow cooker or something like that. or steam cooker. Like. And when you come home, have again fresh food. That's the ideal way.
Right, so you cook once and you get two or three meals out of it. That's a good deal.
That's the idea. So if we start thinking in that way, then we'll find out some ways. The food has to be hot. Now we have some technology with which we can keep the food hot.
Slow cookers and thermoses and things like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, utensils, tiffins.
Tiffins. Mm-hmm. We don't call them tiffins.
That can maintain the temperature.
Here. We would call that a thermos here.
Thermos. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. So that you can use. So you pack it in the thermos, carry it to the office. At 12 o'clock when you want to eat, it would be hot, not reheated.
Right.
So that goes well with the principles of Ayurveda. Mm-hmm. And that's fine.
Right.
So you may use technology.
Thank goodness technology. For technology in certain ways.
Huh? Yeah. So this is one aspect, food, mm-hmm. that is most important. Then are the work schedules, as I said. Generally, there are three shifts. General is the day shift, 9 to 5 or something like that. That's better.
Most people work 9 to 5 here.
But if you are working in second shift or third shift or something like that, then that really hampers your digestion and many other things. So they have to be cautious. At least the meal timings should be proper. So you have to adjust according to your work schedule. If you are having a dinner time at 8 o'clock in the factory, you adjust your dinner at 8 o'clock when you are at home, even when you are going to first shift or something.
So consistency is the important point.
Consistency is important point in that. Mm-hmm. And second thing is, when you are working in the third shift, whole night you are working, and you come home, you eat and then you go to bed, rest. That is not proper according to Ayurveda. One should rest before eating. Mm-hmm. Then people complain that they don't get sleep when they are empty stomach. So I try to find out a way and ask them to drink milk. Mm-hmm. And that works. If you have a glass of milk, that increases kapha to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. That produces sleep. And then you can sleep for 4-5 hours. Actually, the sleep which you couldn't have, half of that you can have. So if you have remained awake for 8 hours, you are entitled for a sleep of 4 hours or something like that.
You mean if you up overnight for
overnight,
8 hours?
Overnight, yeah.
Instead of sleeping,
yeah.
you can have half as much as you would have ordinarily had.
Yeah, yeah. And that should be before lunch.
Before you eat.
So, if you come home at 7:38
in the morning,
you have a glass of milk and sleep till 12, get up, get fresh, and then have your lunch, okay? Then spend some time by reading, listening to music or something like that. And if at all you feel that it still requires some sleep, then you may have a nap after 3-4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
For 1 hour, half an hour or something like that.
So what's the simple rule for food in relationship to sleep?
Actually, sleeping during daytime, immediately after food, causes hyperacidity, causes obesity and so many things, problems.
Mm-hmm.
Even diabetes. So it is not at all advisable to sleep immediately after food. But what you can do is sleep either before food or after 4 hours. After taking food.
Okay.
Provided that you are getting up too early in the morning and the night sleep is insufficient for you. Of course, there are exceptions like old people and children, because they need more sleep that is nourishing their body.
Or if you're sick.
Yeah, or if you are sick. Then you may have day sleep. But it is not advisable to have day sleep after food. There is one exception of summer season. Ayurveda says that day sleep is allowed in summer season.
When it's very hot.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hot and the days are too long and the nights are shorter.
Mm-hmm.
So they say that in summer you may have a day sleep. But again, it's better to have it before lunch or 4 hours after lunch, but not immediately after lunch. If your work schedules are like this, then you have to make some adjustments like that. Then the third aspect of the psychological aspects, especially the stress. Now, we won't find a single person who is not having stress. It can be from the workplace, it can be from the home, family, friends, so many things or something like that. Charkacharya has elaborated on 10 factors that one needs to consider before starting any kind of work. He said that karta, one who creates, one who does the job, he should inspect himself first and see whether he is capable of doing such a job or something like that. What are his qualities, or what are, what you may say, disqualities or lacunae in his qualities. Mm-hmm. Then he should look at the effect, karya. What is he expecting to do?
What's the goal?
Goal. Mm-hmm. And then for what he is doing that. What is the reason behind creating that thing?
The benefit?
Benefit. Or for what he is working for that, actually. Then what is after effect of that? Maybe good, maybe bad, whatever it may be. Then what are the means for that? Then what is the time factor, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable? How is the region where he is working? What are the working atmosphere? Whether it is favorable or not? And if you consider all these factors before starting any kind of work, you don't have a chance to get stressed.
It would seem that considering all those factors would cause stress.
Without stress. Yeah.
At least you get it out of the way before you begin.
Yeah. So there is a lot of groundwork that is required.
Huh.
Even then, there can be unseen things or something coming up very, you may say, unexpected or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be rare. You may have calamities or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that is very rare. Mm-hmm. Especially when we are choosing a career, when we are choosing a particular job, or we are getting married, or any, we are buying house, car, whatever it may be. When we are dealing with big things in our life that influence for a long period, at least in those instances, we should look on all these factors and then take proper steps. But unfortunately, what happens, we don't consider them in an elaborate way. We start the work, and then we face many problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get stuck up. And then we get stressed. Oh, this is not happening. This is not the way I thought it would work, or something like that. How can I complete this, etc., etc. At that time, again, one has to become little apart from that, getting away, detached.
Mm-hmm.
Become aware of the things. And then what is optimum possible, that one has to think. What is achievable? And then start working in that direction. Try to achieve things which are achievable. So then you get confidence. You get some satisfaction. Okay, the situation was very odd, very adverse, but still I could do this much, or something like that. And then you can reschedule the things or something like this. And keep on doing the jobs. Generally what happens, when people get stressed, they become depressed. They become inactive. They can't think what is the achievable target or what are the ways to achieve that target or something like that. And then once they become inactive, they really don't do. And that aggravates the problem because you are stuck up in some situation. You need to find out a way. And instead of finding out a way, you spend more time in just negative thinking. And that worsens the problem. So becoming detached, aware is the solution. Then finding out proper ways and then actually doing the job, just not thinking that don't work, that doesn't work. See the situation of Ayurveda when Vaidya Kolhatkar was practicing and teaching was much adverse. Okay, he would have said, oh, nothing is possible in this situation. There are no Ayurvedic practitioners, there are no good teachers, there are no good students. So what is going to happen? Nothing is going to happen. Nothing would happen if he would think in that way. But then he analyzed the situation. He could come out with, what is the way out? Okay, reading original text is the way. What is the requirement? Understanding Sanskrit properly, understanding darshanas properly, the philosophical background properly. Okay, who are the teachers right now for Sanskrit or darshanas? Who are practitioners right now? Start sending students to them. Let them get the knowledge. Let them have the experience. Let them start teaching in that way. And this worked. So, whatever the situation be, when we become detached, then only we start thinking, proper thinking. And then we can go for a positive thing. Then the situation will change. We feel that the situation is very much unfavorable. How can anybody work in this such kind of situation? But we don't think of changing the situation and making it favorable. It would. Like spreading Ayurveda in India and Western countries is a Herculean task. Okay, people have a very different background, very different culture, very different makeup of mind. But even then, there can be a way out. How to convince people, how to make them beneficiaries of the health and other things. Once they start realizing, oh, this works, I'm in better health following Ayurvedic advice and other things, then they will follow the things, they will advise others to follow. There will be a good, big support like that. So stress, depression, anger, and these are various aspects, psychological aspects. And one has to emphasize on all these things. Ayurveda has a very good concept of prajnaparadha as a root cause for many ailments. But I think it's a bigger topic. Maybe we keep it for the next lecture.
Topic.
Very big topic. So maybe we keep
it. But summarize quickly since you mentioned it.
About?
Prajnaparadha.
Prajnaparadha. Okay. Very short, I would say, that understanding things properly is the work of the intellect, buddhi. If we have wrong impressions about what is mortal and what is immortal, nitya and anitya, that's what, these are technical terms. Or what is hita and what is ahita. These are again technical terms.
What is healthy and what is unhealthy.
Yeah. So something that creates enhances the balanced state of dosha is hita. And something which disturbs the balanced state of dosha is ahita.
So what leads towards balance is healthy and what leads towards imbalance is unhealthy.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
Yeah. So, if we have wrong notions about things, say we were talking about the Utpadaka Hetu and Vyanjaka Hetu, one which is a producing cause and one which is expressing cause. And we consider, oh, I'm allergic to dust, I'm allergic to pollen. Nothing to do with my ice cold water. This is a kind of prajnaparadha because we are not understanding it properly. What is the real cause? And we have a false notion that, no, this is dust and pollen is the only cause or something like that. The second thing is, even when we know, but we are not able to control, due to mind, because mind is susceptible to many things, and it gets attracted to various things that we like or something like that.
Chocolate cake.
Yeah. Chocolate cake, so many things. The best example is the addiction.
Mm.
Even when we know that smoking is injurious to health, it can cause cancer. But when I have a desire, I just can't keep me away from smoking. So that is also a kind of prajnapara, the dhuti brahmsha is what.
Mm-hmm.
And third is the remembrance, smriti brahmsha. So I just forget that I had committed this mistake and I paid a penalty for that. I again repeat the same mistake.
Right. You eat the chocolate cake before you even consider that it might not be the right thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is smriti brahmsha, as what they call. And these all contribute to various kinds of psychological aspects.
And physical.
And that leads further to physical aspects.
Uh-huh.
There are so many diseases like IBS, cancer, hyperacidity, hypertension, psoriasis, and so many conditions, wherein psychological aspects play an important role for physical ailments, even cardiac patients and other things.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, we don't understand that there are strong psychological reasons behind this. And we try to fix the problems mechanically. And that doesn't work.
Right.
So that is another important aspect, the psychological aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And then the addiction, as I said, that, our mind falls prey to various things that are harmful. But even when we understand, but we can't control the mind. And so that is, addiction is yet another issue, important issue. And then I would say the overall lifestyle itself,
mm-hmm,
is the important issue. There have been drastic changes in cultivation, mm-hmm, especially the hybridized food, the use of chemical pesticides, the fertilizers.
Things that are very hard for us to control.
Yeah, preservatives, refrigeration techniques, microwave, so many things.
Mm-hmm.
Our housing pattern had changed, our transportation had changed, communication is very fast with telecommunication.
Social support. Work,
yeah,
hours.
Yeah. And urbanization, yeah, pollution.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come there on. Are a lot of things which have influenced our lifestyle. So lifestyle as a whole has to be considered. And if we know all these factors, then we'll understand what is the way for healthy living. And we need to emphasize on that and maintain our health. That is the most important aspect.
Exactly.
So I think we really had a big grasp of the whole subject as such. It's a very vast subject. I have tried to give justice as much as possible, but I know that this is not going to end in one interview or two interviews like that. But let us keep on doing this. And whenever I come here, I visit US, it would be nice to have further interviews and we take up the topic, mm-hmm, further. I think whatever I have talked should be beneficial. The society at large.
I'm sure many people will find it very interesting and useful.
Okay. And we see that people start benefiting from that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let us pray God that give us strength and let us work for the healthy society. That is what Ayurveda is, one of the prayojana or what objectives of Ayurveda is maintenance of health of a healthy person. And Ayurveda has a very, very strong base, broad base for that. And Ayurveda can be guiding whole globe for all human beings.
It's a powerful tool.
Yeah. So let the sages come to our help for maintenance of health, and we do it. So I thank E. Prasaran for giving me an opportunity to have this wonderful talk with you.
Thank you so much, sir, Dr. Geigel, for coming and talking to us here. Anybody who might be interested in having further discussions with the doctor can contact Shubham Ayurveda in Fremont. There's a website you can get all the contact information off of.
www.shubhamayurveda.com.
S-H-U-B-H-A-M-A-Y-U-R-V-E-D-A
.com. Yeah. And my email address is drgadgil, drgadgil, Gadgil, Dr. Gadgil, at VSNL, V for victory. Or there is another, Gadgil, G-A-D-G-I-L, dot Dilip, D-I-L-I-P, at gmail.com. Your suggestions are most welcome. We look forward for a long-term association.
Yes, we do. Thank you so much.
Yeah.